You're listening to Law and Gospel on this July the 3rd in the year of our Lord 2024. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and on this Wednesday, we're going to take a look at further readings for the following Sunday, Proper 9. That's on July the 7th, 2024. We're going to take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. And we're going to find something there you can hardly read anywhere in the Bible that doesn't immediately talk about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And 2 Corinthians 12 says something very important. Paul writes, I have to boast. It doesn't do any good, but I'll go on with what the Lord has shown and told me. If that isn't a summary of the entire Bible, I don't know what verse is. The entire Bible is really speaking what the Lord has told the apostles and the prophets. You can't find anywhere in the Bible where Jesus isn't the subject of the revelation. Remember, the difference between the two religions in the world is you have the natural religion where man makes up his own God, his own morality, and his own way of thinking. Then you have revealed religion, which is only Christianity, where God reveals to us the will of God, the plans of God, and how salvation is brought to us. It's a huge difference. And Paul is making the point that what he is telling the Corinthians is what he has been told by Jesus. He says, I know a man in Christ 14 years ago, whether in his body or outside it, I don't know. God knows that man was caught up to the third heaven. I know that such a man, whether in his body or outside it, I don't know. God knows. He was caught up to paradise and heard what no human being can express or is allowed to talk about. About such a man I will boast, but as to myself, I will boast only of my weaknesses. So Paul is making the point that he was brought up into paradise in order to learn from the Lord what he has to tell the people here on earth. See, that's the goal of every pastor. We don't tell people what we want to say. We tell people what Jesus tells us to say. Take a look at a worship service. Throughout the entire liturgy, Jesus is mentioned again and again. We pray to him. We give glory to him. We ask for his mercy. We ask for his grace. And we receive it in the absolution, where the pastor says, we are forgiven our sins. That is not something made up by man. You cannot find another religion in the world outside of Christianity that forgives your sins because of the death of God. No, the gods of the world never die, and they look to your works as a way of salvation. That is ridiculous, because your works, until you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, are always less than the glory of God demands. The world does good works and brags about them. Paul says, I will boast only of my weaknesses. Why is he boasting of being weak? It's actually part of the ministry of John the Baptizer. To repent is to show your weakness of not being able to stop from sinning. And so you ask the Lord to save you from your sin. And he does that by having Jesus die on the cross. That's what Paul is talking about. Verse 6 of chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians. But if I would want to boast, I wouldn't be a fool, because I'd be telling the truth. But I'm not going to do it in order to keep anyone from thinking more of me than he judges me to be seeing me or hearing me. To keep me from feeling proud because such wonderful things were revealed to me. A thorn was put into my flesh, Satan's messenger to plague me and keep me from feeling proud. Now, what is that thorn? Well, scholars have debated that. Some have thought that it was a sickness Paul had. Others thought it was his inability to speak properly as a good speaker. Whatever the thorn is, it showed him that he couldn't boast of being the greatest preacher around because he had a thorn. That's often found in pastors, where they have some illness, some inability, or some weakness. And that's what they boast of. Because in boasting of their weaknesses, they're giving all the credit to God for salvation. So, Satan was allowed to plague Paul and keep him from feeling proud. Verse 4, 3 times I begged the Lord to have it leave me alone. But he told me, my grace is enough for you. Wow. That's a message to members of the congregation. Most of the congregation have some plague that God allows from Satan. It could be the death of a loved one. It could be a sickness. It could be a tragedy. It could be an injury. It could be an accident. And they wonder, why is this happening to me? What did I do to deserve this? And yet on Sunday morning, what do they confess? That they deserve nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. That's why they ask God to be merciful to them. To be merciful means he will not give us what we deserve. That's the message throughout the entire Bible. And it's certainly the message of 2 Corinthians 12. You can't know about Christianity without knowing about Jesus Christ. He is the center. He is the focus of whatever is happening. So while you go through Satan's messenger, where you go through the weakness that you have, listen to God. My grace is enough for you. When you are weak, my power is doing its best work. Now, what does that mean? How many times have you gone to the funeral of a loved one who died in Christ, and you have great grief because you miss the loved one? But during the funeral, you hear the good news that your loved one is in heaven and you will soon be with them. That is giving you great power from God to exist in a time of grief and trouble. But that grief and trouble is God's grace, that you hear the good news of what you don't deserve, namely heaven as your home, and you will be with your loved one. Therefore, yes, you grieve, but you do not grieve as those who have no hope. It's really amazing to me how many times in a movie people have a loved one die, and then you see them at the gravesite, and they're talking to their loved one. They're not aware of the fact the loved one is not hearing them, because there is a distance between heaven and earth. When I visit the grave of my son, who died in a motorcycle accident, I don't speak to him, but I speak to Jesus, and I let Jesus inform him of what he needs to know, if anything. I'll find that out when I die, go to heaven, and be with him again. But it's important to realize that Jesus is the only one who hears our prayers at the graveside of our loved ones, because his grace is enough for us. And that grace teaches us the gospel, that not only our sins have been forgiven, but the sins of every saint who dies in Jesus. That's why verse 6 says, or verse 8, when you are weak, my power is doing its best work. So what does Paul conclude? So I will delight all the more to boast of my weaknesses in order to have Christ's power rest on me. That is the theme of Christianity. To confess our sins, to confess our weakness, brings us joy to hear what John the Baptizer said. Behold, the Lamb of God, who has come to take away the sins of the world. And how did he do that? He did that by dying on the cross for you, by taking your punishment, becoming your substitute. And when you trust Jesus, that is, when you believe his promises, you receive the righteousness of Christ and the forgiveness of sins. That's having Christ's power rest on me. Verse 11. That's why I am glad to be weak and mistreated, to suffer hardships, to be persecuted and hard-pressed for Christ. You see, when I am weak, then I am strong. That's how chapter 12, verse 11 ends. You see, when I'm weak, then I am strong. That's because I trust in the words of Jesus. As Paul says, I'll go out with what the Lord has shown me and told me. And that's what he learned after his conversion on the road to Damascus. As we say, everywhere in the Bible, you can only understand what Jesus is saying. It's also true in the Old Testament reading for Proper 9, Ezekiel 2, 1 to 9. Ezekiel writes, Son of man, he told me. So this is God again speaking to Ezekiel. Stand on your feet, and I will talk to you. Then Ezekiel says, when he talked to me, the Spirit came into me and put me on my feet, that I listened as he talked to me. Boy, is that not familiar with what Paul was saying in 2 Corinthians, that he is only going to speak what God said to him. See, that's how you can test a pastor. You hear something in a sermon, and you ask him, can you back that up? And if he cannot give you a Bible verse, then you're talking to a false preacher. Because that's where every preacher is to get the word of God. So what does God say to Ezekiel? Verse 3. Son of man, he told me, I'm sending you to Israel, to a rebellious nation who has rebelled against me. Now that's what God is saying to you and me today, as he looks not only at the United States, but many in the whole world who has rebelled against him. What does it mean to rebel against God? It means what happened with Adam and Eve. They heard from God one word, then they heard from Satan a different word, and they believed Satan rather than God and fell into sin. In fact, this is what God says to Ezekiel. They and their ancestors have sinned against me to this day. They are defiant and stubborn children. I'm sending you to them. Tell them, this is what the Lord God says. See, once more, Ezekiel receives the very same message that Paul's received. You need to tell the people what I say to you. And that happened on the Mount of Transfiguration, when God the Father said about Jesus, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." And that's what the prophets of the Old Testament did. That's what the apostles of the New Testament did. Now, God continues in verse 5. Whether they will listen or refuse to listen, for they are a rebellious people, they will find out a prophet has been among them. But you see, Son of Man, don't be afraid of them or what they say. Don't be afraid, though they defy you and are thorns to you, though you sit on porcupines. Isn't that interesting? That Ezekiel is told he will find a thorn from Satan. The same thing that happened to the Apostle Paul. And that is why both of them will boast in their weaknesses of not being able to handle their life on their own, but rather they look to the grace of God and his promises that not only will he never leave them, but that he will forgive them. Continuing with verse 6. Don't let what they say frighten you. Don't let what they look like terrify you, because they are a rebellious people. Tell them what I say. Here once again, the message to give is a message from what God says. Whether they listen or not, because they are rebellious. So, yes, we're told today that there are pastors who do not want to share with the congregation what God really says, because it will upset people in the congregation and they will stop coming to church, they will stop giving, they will stop being a member of the congregation. But that's what we need to realize as pastors. We're talking to a rebellious people. And so at times, we need to say what will offend them, just as Jesus offended them by what he said. But you, Son of Man, listen to what I tell you. Don't be rebellious like those rebellious people. Open your mouth and eat what I'm about to give you. Yes, the pastor eats from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And even though that gospel is offensive to a rebellious people, it can also create faith in them, so they believe the unbelievable and are saved. Paul says, I looked, and there was a hand stretched out toward me, and in it was a scroll. Now remember, that's how the Bible was written, on scrolls. Ezekiel continues, he spread it out before me. There was writing on the front and on the back. There were lamentations, mournings, and woes written on it. That's the ministry of John the Baptizer, to help us realize we are weak in our living and turn to God for help. Isn't this amazing? 2 Corinthians 12 and Ezekiel 2 says the same thing. Preach and teach what God tells us. We won't be on tomorrow, but we'll be back on Friday to continue. God bless you.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check out to Law and Gospel and mail to Law and Gospel, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132, or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.